Hello, this is Victoria, and you are listening to the Service Dog Success Podcast. Today's episode is burnouts and washouts, and what it is and how you can prevent it, and what are the signs for burning out. What is burning out? Oftentimes, it's whenever you take your service dog prospect or your service dog in training, or heck, even your service dog, and you do too much too fast. And oftentimes, whenever you do too much too fast, the dog can't recover. The dog doesn't have that emotional resiliency that we want, that we want to see, and we want the dog to experience. They don't have enough recovery time, and they end up burning out. It's like the candle that burns twice as hot goes half as much. I think there's a saying about that. But anyway, how can you prevent burnouts? And what is a washout? A washout is a dog who, you know, service dog prospect in training or fully trained service dog who is no longer. So it could be a dog that you've had. And for example, Gypsy, I removed her, I retired her. I wouldn't call her a washout. I would call her she retired. We've had dogs who we were hoping. Django was my Malinois. He did not like being a service dog. He did not want to be out in public as a service dog. And he clearly did not enjoy it. So he washed out from being a service dog or retired. Oftentimes, they can be interchangeable, but washouts oftentimes are referred to the service dogs in training before they become fully trained. And once they're fully trained, then it's retired, right? But it's similar. And I'm sure you're going to get on and say, well, no, actually, if they are working for so long a time, that would be considered this. I don't care. You guys get the idea, right? You know what I'm talking about. So how can you stop these washouts from happening? Oftentimes is to prevent these burnouts from happening, right? So there's a reason why this episode has both topics combined, is because they are interrelated. And we want to make sure that the dogs do well, okay? When does service dog training start? I mean, it depends on what you consider starting. Our puppies, we kind of start them before birth, right? With everything that we do with the mom to make sure everything's right. Starting at 3 days old, they start their early neurological stimulation. At 5 weeks old, we're starting little training sessions with them to see where they're at and how they're doing. You know, so we do a lot from the beginning, but we're always very cognizant of what it is that the dog's doing and what their capabilities are, and we're evaluating. We just had in February, we had two litters born 2 days apart, right? We had the Pocahontas litter and we had the Princess and the Frog, or the Tiana litter. And they were born mid-February. Well, the dogs who stayed until they were 6 months home went home mid-August, is whenever the go-homes were. Okay, so we had those dogs at 6 months old. They were going home. And I'm going to tell you some of the things we did in order to prevent burnouts and some of the signs, you know, of that, in case you're working your own dog or you're working with a trainer. Because a lot of people want to do everything right away. And don't do that. Right? Like, that's not the right way to do it. So what we did is we put together our puppy program levels, and we have it up. It's kind of on the website, but you have to be a little stealthy to find it. And where it's actually at is if you look under our Service Dog Success online course, which is found at servicedog.teachable.com, and you look at our Service Dog Success course there, right? Because we have a number of courses up and available. If you scroll and as you're looking at it, look at all the videos in the course, that's where you can find the levels. I should put it up on the website, but I have not done that yet. And how we break it down is level one is pre-foundation skills. So that's 8 to 10 weeks old. And that's lure and reward training. It's teaching the dog name game, box work, clear communication, which includes the end behavior for stay in position and end and release from behavior, the treat and train, crate training, potty training, grooming, socialization. We limit pavement 5 to 10 minutes max, and we try to get different surfaces, proprioception, spatial pressure, and play. right? So it's kind of easy coming into that. Now, oftentimes, because these are our dogs that we're working with, and we know them, right? Like, we've been working with this stuff since they were, you know, 5 weeks old. We can jump them up a little bit ahead. So level two is 10 weeks to 5 months. Now, that doesn't mean that if you get a dog from a breeder that's not us, that your dog can move at that same rate. Or that if you get a dog who's 10 weeks old, you can jump right into level two. Or you get a dog who's 6 months old and you're going to jump into one of those other levels. You always have to start at level one to make sure your dog has these pre-foundation skills in order to be the best that they can be. So level two includes things like capture behavior, teaching the dog their name, pottying on cue and on leash, thresholds, autofocus on me, and I don't do the here's a food at the dog's mouth and here I will bring it up between my eyeballs. I don't do the L for look and raise it. I don't do the finger point and raise it to my eyes. That's annoying. This is just purely capturing that they're just checking in with me and there's no word for it. I don't say focus or autofocus or hey you. They just pay attention to me. And it's the first step of teaching a really nice focus. But, you know, you can see here, thresholds, find it. So they learn to find a food on the ground. Like, it's fun and easy for the puppies. Leave it. We can start them with leave it. You leave that boring thing on the ground, I'll give you something really awesome. Target stick and two-finger touch. Paws up and off, not down. Pivots might start, which is paws up and maybe move your back legs a little bit. Because it's fun, right? Puppies like to explore. They're very kinesthetic. They're very touchy. And then sit, down, stand, come, which the clickers charge with dynamite at this point for our puppies. So it's pretty easy. Luring them over place and starting with all the heel stuff and then play and find scent. And of course, we have five levels, so I'm not going to get into everything we do in all those levels. I told you where you can go, or you can come to one of our schools, or you can purchase the course, and it goes into way more in depth. But you need to work at the dog's pace. So I just told you that we had the go-homes, right? We had the six-month-old go-homes, and we still have Otter and Cajun. And we were very busy with the six-month-olds who were going home. So Otter and Cajun got kind of a month off. Now, we still practiced, but they didn't have the big training sessions. They didn't go on outings for a month because, again, we were busy with the go-homes for the six dogs who went home. So they couldn't be naughty, right? We weren't going to let them be jerks, but they got a lot more freedom in the house. Instead of being in their crates with all the other puppies, they got to sleep in bed at night, or not in bed, they got to sleep in my bedroom at night with all the other adults. I also have a door that leads outside, so that made it pretty easy. And yeah, there were a few accidents. And then we were figuring out why. For example, Otter didn't want to go outside at night because I think he was afraid we were going to lock him out there or put him back in his crate afterwards. So he tried to hold it. So maybe we would forget that he was out and he could sleep out because he does not want to go in his crate right now. He wants to be out with the family. So I would just go outside with him. He'd come outside. He'd realize it was okay. And we did that twice, three times maybe, and we didn't have the problem. And it was only at night. So he'd go like in the living room or kitchen area and pee. And then he'd go and stand by it like he was all proud. Like, see, now you don't have to put me in my crate. I already peed for the night. Anyway, poor Otter. But that went a long way towards preventing that burnout, right? Because they got to be a dog. And a lot of people forget that part whenever they're raising up a service dog. They forget that the dog needs time to be a dog, that it cannot be work, 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 work. They have to have that downtime. They have to have that family time, and they need their sleep. Now, this doesn't mean that whenever they had their month off, they were allowed to, you know, run roughshod all over the house and be jerks and get into stuff and, you know, steal food from the table. No, they still had to behave, but we weren't doing a lot of brand new stuff with them. You know, like they'd have to sit and get their meals. They'd have to be good and do stationing to get treats with everybody else. You know, but they weren't doing outings. They weren't doing some of the fancier stuff. They, like I said, they just got to be a dog. And it's so important. And the same thing had happened with Gypsy. She was, I think, about 3 or 4 months old. And I have wonky times where I'll be wonky for 4 to 6 weeks. Wonky time comes while she was young like that. And so she had a month off. And Rich and Luke would, you know, help out with her and work with her and stuff. But I didn't really work her training wise for a month. And that helps. When we're doing these puppies and they're okay for outings. So up until about 4 months old, they're not fully vaxxed, right? 4 months old, they get their third distemper parvo and they get their rabies shot. So it's a good time to start taking them out. If you take your pup out before then, we have some criteria. For example, we use strollers, dog strollers, not human strollers. Or if they're way young, we might have them in a carrier. I don't want to just say, oh, they're going to be in my lap the whole time, because that's not comfortable for them or for me, even if I'm in my wheelchair. So we'll use the strollers and we might take them out. And if we do, it's maybe once a week, right? And which means we have an easy day before and an easy day after. So we maybe once a week, maybe. Once they hit that 4 month mark, once they go to the vet and I ask the vet, when can we start taking them out? Usually it's now. But we just had an outbreak of parvo in the town beside us. You know, a couple of the people were having parvo, puppy stuff, you know, coming back that the dogs were testing positive for parvo. So we didn't take our puppies there to that area. It's the villages. It was a big, you know, big area. I don't know how many people, 100,000 something people, but we stayed away from that area. And we would go a little further away, hoping that it would be good, but we still avoid dog heavy places. You know, I don't go to pet stores with the dogs. I'll go to non-pet friendly places with my service dogs in training. And at 4 months old, my puppies are pretty good potty training wise. You know, if you get them out there, you make sure they potty beforehand. We're not having accidents when we go out, but we do have a cleanup kit just in case. So once they hit that 4 months and we start taking them out, we'll take them out. But again, I'll know when we're going to take them out. So we'll plan it ahead of time. For example, if we're going to hit up a store on Wednesday or Thursday, the day before and the day after, I'm going to plan to be easy days. So that might be, you know, making sure too now they're going to have to be clean. So the day before might be that they play and they get a bath, a brush out, their ears, their nails, right? That's a lot. That's a lot for a puppy. So while we're saying it's an easy day, it's not, but it is, right? And then they'll have their outing now, say somebody doesn't feel good or some dog doesn't feel good the day of the outing, it's canceled. Or it's canceled for that dog and that person. And that's fine. That's allowed to have happened. You're not going to, no, we must stick to this plan. Well, the dog started heat. Now that's going to be older than 4 to 6 months old. But the dog started her heat cycle. Well, okay, looks like she's not going right now. And that's happened. Or the dog had explosive diarrhea in the crate. Okay, the dog's not going today. Let's give him some meds for it. Let's keep an eye on him. If we have to go somewhere, let's make sure we have a doggy babysitter over here to keep an eye on him, to get him out when he needs to go potty. And let's, you know, keep a very good eye on it, document stuff, and let the vet know what's going on. Okay. If the dog needs 2 days to recover afterwards, guess what the dog gets? 2 days to recover afterwards. Puppies need a lot of sleep. When they go home at 8 weeks old, they need 20, maybe 22 hours of sleep a day. They need a lot of sleep. And people are like, well, 20 hours a day, that's 4 hours a day of being up. Mm-hmm. So it usually works, but it's chunks here and there, right? So I don't know if anyone goes and just times it and sees how long the dogs are awake, but they need a lot of sleep. And oftentimes people don't get that. They don't understand that. And, you know, we've had people, what's training time? It's 3 o'clock, it's training time, and they'll go wake the dog up from sleep. Now, y'all have heard that, let a sleeping dog lie. Yeah, it counts on this one too. And I remember I was at the vet with Django the Malinois when he was a puppy. And he, you know, we were talking with the vet and we were getting some stuff done and he had fallen asleep at my feet. And I think it was one of the techs had come in and said, oh, you know, okay, well, you're done. I said, okay. And they're like, oh, but wait before you go. And she comes over to me and I figured she had something for me. No, she goes down. She wakes up my sleeping puppy to give my puppy a little kiss on his little nose to tell him good night, goodbye. Why would you do that? You know, Rich was with me. He was going to pick up Django and you know, carry Django out if he was still sleepy, because he was like 3 months old at the time. So he was going to carry him out. And like, why would you wake up a dog like that? You wake up a dog easily. You know, there's dogs that wake up and like nail you in the face. Yeah, this is why. So you have to advocate for your dog. I figured a vet tech, I don't know if it was the vet or the vet tech, but I figured that they would be fine and they would totally understand. No, they didn't understand. People don't understand. If the dog is sleeping, let him sleep. There have been times that I've walked by the dog sleeping in the X pen or in the crate. Okay, so I'll go do find something else to do until the dog wakes up. I won't stand there and stare at them. I won't get louder and louder until the dog wakes up. You know, like, we let sleeping dogs sleep. They're allowed to sleep. I'm not going to wake them up in order to do anything. And if they need to sleep and they wake up and they're still groggy, it might be a very short, easy training session. It might be play. Remember, play was on there. It might be find it. It might be box. It might be, like, there's easy ones, right? There's easy ones that are okay for a puppy who's tired. It might just be we scatter feed them and they get to just eat that way. Or they just get to eat in bowls in their crates because they're tired. Either way, you have to change what you're doing based on what you're getting from your dog. So if the dog is done, the dog is done. And sometimes it'll take a day or 2 days or 3 days to recover from the outing if the outing's a big outing. And outings are going to be stressful. Training is stressful. Life is stressful. So if we think of these as stress inoculations, they're just a little bit and then your body has time to recover, right? A little bit more, and then your body can have more time to recover. And that's what we want to do whenever we're training these puppies. Little stress inoculations. Short outings, setting your dog up for success to get an A, and then a nice recovery time afterwards. So your dog isn't in a constant state of exhaustion and deep stress. Distress, not eustress. We want recovery. We want to see that bounce back. We want to see it all be good before we continue. So if you say, well, I'm going to take my dog out, you're telling me to take my dog out twice a week, maybe twice a week at, you know, 6 months old, they can handle that usually. So I'm going to do twice a week. And my twice a week is going to be Monday, Tuesday. Nope, that's not going to work. How about Monday, Thursday? That might work better, right? But what if you're really busy that weekend and your dog needs recovery time on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday? You have to be flexible with this. You cannot just say, well, nope. I said that I needed to do twice a week. Or you can't say, well, I need to do twice a week, but I'm busy this week and I only have 1 day, so I'll do 2 big outings today. No, don't do that either. Or, well, I'll do 8 this week and then my dog will be a superstar. No, he won't. He's going to be burned out. You're going to burn him out. And you don't want that. You want the dog to enjoy working with you. You want the dog to be happy to go out and do things and respond with enthusiasm. But I just want the dog to be calm whenever I'm out. Yeah, but you just want him to enjoy it. It's not one of these, I say you're going to be a service dog, so you're going to do it. No. The dog, this is a cooperation here, guys. It needs to be both. You need to have that playtime afterwards, right? You want that from the dog. You want him to get it and to enjoy it and to do well with it. You don't want the dog to just think he has to because he has no other options available to him. He has to have those options. And he has to have a say in it. If not, what type of life is that? How fun would that be? You don't get to say in it, this is what you're going to do for the rest of your life. And if you're tired, too bad. No, you rest whenever you need to. And the dogs have to also. And you have to let them rest and wait for them to have that recovery before we move on. Because the dog learns during the training session, but you won't see the result of it until the next training session. And that's something big to keep in mind. People want to see results immediately for everything. And I don't blame them. I want to see results immediately too. But you won't see those results until the next one. So if you're taking the dog out, you can see what the dog needs to work on. Adjust your training for it. But understand that it's that give and take. There's that dynamic there, right? So you have to have that flexibility or you're going to burn your dog out. We actually just had a phone call with one of those pups who went home a month ago-ish. And they were concerned because They're in a heat wave where they're at. Heat wave for them, not a heat wave for Florida. But Florida, guess what? Everything's air conditioned in Florida. Other parts of the country, it's not the same. Not everyone has air conditioning. Not every place is air conditioned. And that can burn the pups out. There's a reason why we haven't gone to Disney or Universal that much lately. And that's because it's so hot this summer that we've been hitting up the mall just about weekly or more sometimes. But we've been hitting up the mall so much because the mall is all air conditioned. I like that a lot. That is so nice. If I need a place to train my puppies, you know, my puppies saying these 4 to 6 month olds, we hit up the mall. And now that Otter and Cajun are staying here, they're 7 months old. They went to the mall this Saturday with our service dog adventures. They did fantastic. Are there things we need to work on? You betcha. But for not having any outings in a month, they did super. We had talked, oh gosh, a couple months ago, I believe, with Sam on the pillars of perfection. And there's three pillars. There's the emotional, the physical, and the intellectual. For having the best service dog, you need to have these pillars, and you don't want to have cracks in your pillars. So for emotional, we want to look at how does the dog feel. We want a dog, especially a service dog, ideal is emotional resilience. When exposed to that stressful situation, your dog should bounce back and continue on. That's our goal. Physical, can your dog physically do the job? Our ideal is a service dog who can perform the physical work, performing the tasks needed throughout the day. And intellectual, is your dog creative when opportunities to problem solve present themselves? We want a dog who thinks and displays intelligent disobedience as needed. But go back and listen to that episode if you think that you, well, go back and listen to it anyway, even if you think you know everything. Then it's even better for you to solidify it and make sure. You want to assess, where are these cracks forming in your pillars? What can we do to stop that? How can we set your dog up for success? We want your dog to get an A with everything, right? You want your dog to get an A. You don't want your dog to burn out. You don't want your dog to wash out. And oftentimes, if you're worried about it, add in more play, purposeful play, not just mindless chaos play. Zoomies aren't essentially play. I don't consider that play with me. What's play is going to be retrieve or tug or something that you're doing together. Not, well, the dog went outside and he played with his friend and they ran around for 20 minutes. So like the dog had play. He did, but it wasn't with you. And we're trying to build up that relationship and that bond with you. So we want that purposeful play together. We want the dog, maybe you go on a treasure hunt together, right? You find some stuff, you go on it. So things that are important to the dog, he sees they're important to you too, because you want to share things that you love with people that you love. Okay. But you want to do these, all of it together with your dog. So as that's going good, awesome. But sleep is also needed. If you haven't figured that out this episode, it's totally, totally needed. So we want to make sure your dog's getting enough sleep, that he has that recovery, which is going to be a couple days, guys. It's going to be a couple days between them. If you're taking your dog out someplace every day, you're going to burn him out, especially if that pup's under 6 months old, under a year old. They cannot handle every day. And even if you think, well, yeah, but it's at my work, it's at my office, right? Or they just kind of like lay at my feet and sleep anyway. No, guys, that's like napping when you're tired and you're going on an airplane and you're waiting at the airport and you're kind of like dozing and you're getting on the airplane and you're dozing. You could be really tired, but that's not that deep, restful sleep that you need, right? Like I can sleep anywhere. It's one of my superpowers. But it's not that deep, restful sleep that I need. I can doze, I can catnap, I can zone out, I can tune out people too. But I still need that deep, restful sleep. I need more of it sometimes. I know when I'm having wonky days, that helps me to reset. If I pass out, I need to sleep. I need that reset. Like, I totally understand where the dogs are coming from, man. I live it. I live it every day. Maybe I'm self-projecting, but I've seen it work out wonderful. And you can't say, well, we're going to get up early and we're going to do all this stuff every day, and then I'll just let them sleep on the weekends. It doesn't work like that, right? They need that sleep every day. They need enough sleep. They need naps. Do you know how good nap time is? I mean, for people too. Some people, Rich never naps well. Some people don't nap well. I'm going to tell you, here's the rules for human napping is don't take all the extra pillows off your bed and get underneath the covers like you do at night, right? It has to be different. So we have a whole bunch of extra pillows on our bed. So when it's nap time for me, I will sleep on top of those extra pillows. I don't move them. And we keep a blanket, one of those like fuzzy velour type blankets that are so soft that we got at Costco. We have a rosy pink one and we keep that on the foot of the bed. So I will use that to cover up if I need to. Because if I don't cover up, I'm too cold, just a little too chilled usually. But if I cover up, I can stick my feet out. I can stick half my body out and it's okay because it's right there. It's not at the foot of the bed. So already it's different. Or maybe I'll nap on a chair or on a couch, right? But it's not the sleep that I do at night. I try to sleep now. If I'm really not doing good, there's exceptions, but health-wise. But if I can, I try to nap before 3 to 3:30. If I fall asleep at 4 o'clock or later, it's going to be a different story. I don't set the alarm, but I know whenever I come out, you know, whenever I drift off to sleep and then I come out of that sleep state, that I have to get up. I don't just stay there and say, I'm going to sleep a little bit more. Usually. Sometimes I do. But if I'm trying to get a nice nap in, that's going to be about 30 minutes, probably. Yeah, I think about 30 minutes. And then I'm good. And I can be up then until 11 o'clock or 12 o'clock or later, you know, if I need to be. But in the beginning there, it is, you are a little groggy. And it does take you a little bit longer to figure things out and to get moving because you're like, no, but that was so nice. But because you weren't under the covers, it wasn't sleepy time. And because you had those, as I'm coming out of it, I'll get up. Your nap is now way more restful. And sometimes it's earlier. Sometimes I'm tired and I'm napping at 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock in the morning because I can't. And that's part of the yay fun of having a disability. But your dog gets those same rules. If your dog is tired, your dog gets to sleep. He doesn't have to listen to Vicky's rules of nap time. If you need a nap, try my rules. They work out really good. Because again, burnouts, washouts, and that's for both of you. We want training to be fun for you, not to be a job that you hate and you don't want to do. Puzzle games can be fun for the dogs. Doing biological fulfillment. You know, do something fun with your dog. Do that play, that together play. Not that, you know, go entertain yourself. Here's a stick. That's not fun. It's not something together. That's not something that's going to help to prevent burnout with your dog. So to recap, don't burn out your dog or you might have to wash them out. You don't want to do that. And how to prevent it is go easy. There's a saying with service dog training, which is slow is fast. And it's true to a degree. I don't want my dogs to think that naughty behavior is okay. So from the get-go, I know what I'm okay with. For example, I don't care if my dogs pick up stupid things in their mouth and bring them into me. They bring me rocks or sticks or acorns or anything stupid. I don't care. If I see my dog has anything in his mouth, I'll click and I'll reward. Why do I do that? Do you know how many dogs I've trained? Because before I just worked with our dogs in our breeding program, we took in dogs and would train them up too. You know, like not like from like took in dogs off the street. But we worked with clients outside of our breeding program. We just worked with, you know, whomever, you know, needed us that we thought that we were a good match and that it was good. But so many of them didn't want to have the thing in their mouth. They didn't want to do their oops retrieve. And they didn't want to do them because they were taught from the earliest they can remember that it's bad to have something in your mouth. And now you're saying, but now you can have something in your mouth. No, like it's hard because you're taking something that they've firmly believed and that you've taught them. Because if they would take like your sock or your shoe or your underwear, you'd chase them down and grab it from them and tell them they were a bad doggy. And that's not good. No, if my dog picks up my underwear and starts to run outside with it, I'm like, what you got? Can I see it? And since I always have my food pouch on, they come to me, they get a click, they get a food. Even if they don't come to me, they're going to get a click and then they're going to come to me to get their food. So we want to set them up for long-term success because that's one of the key things is you're looking at the long-term here. You're not just looking at what's going on today, but you're looking at what's going on today and tomorrow and for the rest of their lives with you. We're not training up. I'm not training up Otter, the seven-month-old puppy. I'm training up Otter, the future dysautonomia service dog, the future hopeful stud dog. And what I allow or don't allow today is going to influence what he does today, tomorrow, and the rest of his life. And the same thing holds true with your dog. So how do you find us? We have a link tree, which is linktr.ee/HopeSD for service dog. Our website is hopeservicedogs.org. We are on most social media platforms. I'm on Threads. I don't do too much. Instagram, TikTok, YouTube, Facebook. We have our website. We have our podcast. And we might be planning a virtual course or an in-person course coming up in the fall also. So we've got a lot of neat stuff going, and we hope that you join us for all of it. So until next time, I will catch you. But go back and listen to that one on the three pillars. It's a pretty awesome podcast episode.